The spring primary is next Tuesday, and there is one statewide race on the ballot for state superintendent of public instruction. The top two finishers will advance to the spring election in April. We talked with two of the candidates yesterday, the two challengers who want the job. Today, we'll talk with the incumbent. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 15th. We welcome your questions for Tony Evers, the state superintendent of public instruction. What education issue is most important to you? What would you like to see in terms of education policy in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Tony Evers is the current state superintendent of public instruction. He was first elected in 2009 and is seeking his third term. Evers began his career in 1976 as an educator in Toma. He has served as a teacher, a principal, a school superintendent, a CESA administrator, and deputy state superintendent of public instruction. Good morning.
Good morning, Joey. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. So Great. Why should voters reelect you as a state superintendent?
Well, first of all, I would say that the track record over the last 8 years has been good. We've have things like this to point to, like the declining number of suspensions and expulsions in school, and the record number. In fact, we've doubled the number of high school kids that are taking dual enrollment courses where they get college credit and high school credit at the same time, which helps them advance to college in a little better place and actually saves money at the end of the day. And we've also been able to continue our growth and graduation rates in the state, and we're doing a significant job. In fact, we just got a $2.1 million grant from Morgan Chase out of New York City to help advance career and technical education in the state. So I think those are all good points. I'd also point to the fact that after several years of not doing well in the budget, the present budget that the governor produced had a great share of my budget in there, and so I think that is on a positive trajectory, too. So overall, I feel good. Do we have issues in the state that we have to resolve, continue to work on? Absolutely. But we made some good progress, and I plan to take it to the next level in the next 4 years.
Yeah, we'll get to budget items and initiatives in just a moment. But
sure.
We spoke with your challengers yesterday, candidates John Humphreys and Lowell Holtz. If listeners missed those interviews, they are at WPR.org/joy. To paraphrase and to just sum up, both of them had some concerns about student academic performance. Under your tenure, in terms of, for example, reading scores in elementary school and the achievement gap between white and students of color. And I guess they say that academic performance
is
declining.
Fault.
So yeah, so address that. Is that your fault?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not my fault. And actually, we've done a lot of things to help stem that. Do I feel that in some places of the state there are children that struggle mightily? Absolutely. And we've worked hard. I'll use Milwaukee Public Schools as an example to do several things. Actually, we worked with a special master in Milwaukee Public Schools early on in my career as state superintendent, and we made some significant changes in curriculum in the school district that are beginning to create some positive trends. And also we've really made more consistent the curriculum in Milwaukee Public Schools, so that we have a lot of transitions and mobility with kids, and we try to overcome that by making sure that there's some consistency among those schools so that kids aren't starting over. So I I dispute that. I own it. We've been working in a very positive way to make some changes in Milwaukee. I completely support Dr. Driver and her work there, and we work hand in hand on a number of issues. One of them is increasing the school year for many kids that struggle, and also to do some really simple things around making sure that we have more kids in summer school. So our efforts are paying off in a small way, and we expect them to pay off in a large way. But in turn, you know, over the last, and even I've heard Governor Walker say this, is that we have had slight gains in mathematics and reading and on our NAEP scores over the last 5 years. They're small, but the trajectory is right. We just have to keep our pedal to the or our foot to the pedal on these issues.
Let's talk a little bit about the budget for education in Wisconsin. Governor Walker, in his budget address last week, proposed increasing funding for K-12 by nearly $650 million. You're pretty happy with that?
Well, yeah. The way the process works is I presented my budget to the governor and his Department of Administration back in November, and I remember briefing him on it at the time, and I asked for approximately $700 million increase, which I felt was frankly reasonable to get us partially back to where we were several years ago. And I was pleased that actually he called me before the budget, before he revealed his budget, and indicated that he was going to $650 million and using a lot of the metrics and proposals that I had in my budget. So, yeah, I feel pleased. There's some kind of hooks to the money that we need to resolve legislatively. But it's certainly a good starting place, and I think it's a reflection of the governor and his colleagues hearing the same thing I do from people all across the state of Wisconsin. They're saying that the resources for our public schools is not adequate, and that's shown by the fact that school districts are passing referenda at just huge margins all across the state. Even during the Trump takeover last November, we still had 80% of the school districts saying we want more money for our public schools. So I take that as indication that our message is getting through.
Yeah. So when you say that money has some hooks in it, you want the legislature to remove the, for instance, requirement that schools adhere to Act 10 and benefit recommendations in order to get that money. You want that removed from the budget?
Yes. There's a couple things I'd like to see happen. One is removing that. That seems like an overreach for state government, frankly. And there's evidence that I'll use Monona Grove as an example outside of Madison, where they aren't meeting this new compliant. This is a new compliant issue that was never in state statute around having teachers pay more for their health insurance. Well, as Monona Grove had met that criterion even, you know, some years ago, but they renegotiated their health insurance, saved money, and the school board decided to share some of that savings with teachers and actually lowered their contribution. Is that wrong? Of course it's not wrong. So I just think it's an overreach, and I think it also creates a negative dialogue that was initiated with Act 10 that carries on today, and we just need to move beyond that, and this kind of raises that whole specter of Act 10 again. And I just think it's kind of poorly chosen way to approach this issue. So, yes, I'd like to see that get gotten rid of. And I've also believe that the money should be distributed instead of equally, but more equitably. That's reflective of kids' needs.
Briefly before our news break, Governor Walker did not propose faster growth or expansion for the school voucher program. Are you happy with that?
Well, I think it's time to take a breath on that issue. We have to make sure there's some constitutional reasons for providing more money for our schools. And And our first priority has to be our traditional public schools. And so I have no reason why he did not do that, but I think it gives us a chance to pause and take a breath, and I think that's an important thing.
We're going to check news, take a pause and take a breath. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we open the lines for your questions for Tony Evers. He is the state superintendent of public instruction. He is running for re-election. He faces two challengers on the primary ballot. The primary election is next Tuesday, February 21st. So what questions do you have for Superintendent Evers? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are concluding our series of candidate interviews with candidates running for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We are talking in this half hour with the incumbent, Tony Evers, and we're welcoming your questions for him. What do you want to know about what he does and how he will do it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We spoke with his two challengers who are on the primary ballot yesterday at this time. The primary is next Tuesday. The top two finishers will move on to the spring election in April. You know, we've had two callers so far who couldn't stay with us, and they wanted to know Superintendent Evers about the story we just heard about in state news. Mike couldn't stay with us. He asked, how does Mr. Evers feel about the newly proposed regulations in the state budget that would bring back lifetime licenses for teachers? What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, it's interesting that's even come up, but because when I entered the profession, they were just winding those down. The thing I'm looking forward to looking at the statutory language on this to make sure I understand completely what it talks about. But here's the bottom line: we have to make sure that our teachers, whether it's through licensing or any other way, have continuous improvement. That's first of all part and parcel of the importance of the teaching profession is so significant that we have to make sure that our teachers are continually updating their skills and their resources for kids, and this would take away kind of one lever on that particular issue. The other thing is it relates to our teacher evaluation system that we're working hard to implement across the state of Wisconsin, and we have to make sure as part of that system does not turn into a punishment system, but rather continuous improvement. And so we have to make sure all those things work. The bottom line is our kids need to make sure that they have to be assured, and their parents have to be assured that teachers have continuous improvement throughout their career. And this takes away one of those reasons for making that happen. So I have concerns about it, but I also want to see the statutory language on it.
Yeah. What about the teacher shortage that we are hearing about in Wisconsin, that a lot of teachers have left the profession, maybe for a variety of reasons? Would that be one way to keep more teachers in the fold? What else is needed?
Yeah, well, possibly much more than that, but possibly, especially the end of their career teachers. In fact, we've already promulgated administrative rules to allow teachers in the last 5 years not to have to reapply for a license. And I think that's a small piece. It's an important piece, but we want to make sure our great teachers stay in the profession as long as they want to, rather than wanting to get out. But the whole teacher shortage thing goes way, way, way beyond that. I mean, it started with the conversations we had as a state around Act 10 and demonizing the profession and all that. And frankly, that is a major issue. I travel campuses as a member of the Board of Regents, and I hear that from young people all across the state that that has impacted them. They do not want to go into the profession because they don't want to have a target on their back. The other issue, frankly, is that over the last 6 or 7 years, teacher pay has decreased 2.5%, and their take-home pay even more than that. And so there's some really major structural issues. But the first one around demagoguery around teachers and all that, that's free. All we have to do is start honoring the profession instead of degrading it, and we'd be making a huge, huge inroads. Here's the deal, Joy. In northern Wisconsin, UW's professor did a study and recently and came to the conclusion, looking at all the data that's available to him, that less than 5% of the prospective teachers in the state want to work in rural Wisconsin. So how in the world is winter Wisconsin going to find second and third grade teachers? It's mind-boggling to me. We have a long way to go on this issue, and we have a looming shortage.
Let's go to Jennifer in Oconomowoc. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I guess I'm so thankful that Dr. Evers understands all of the issues that are facing Wisconsin teachers these days, but in light of that, he just mentioned that the bigger issue really is that, you know, we're having a hard time attracting and retaining teachers. It's been a tough go the last 5 or 6 years. But I guess my question is, how can we go ahead and let the licensure system be watered down? Because in effect, we will see the aftermath of that years down the road when our children aren't exposed to really experienced high quality teachers who haven't been taking professional development. So instead of watering the system down now, how can we use some of the current things we have tried to put in place to, you know, assure that we continue to have high quality teachers?
Yeah, and that's a great question that Jennifer poses. It's one that we've faced and actually battled this issue several times over the last couple legislative sessions, where essentially the thinking is that by dumbing down the profession, we can suddenly open up the floodgates to many, many, many more teachers. And both of those things are false on the not only on the surface but underneath the surface, in that it doesn't create a lot more people in the pipeline. But most importantly, We have to have some really strong guardrails up here, and those guardrails have to make sure that we don't decrease the quality of our teaching profession. That is not going to help these kids that we're talking about before that struggle. We need highly qualified, highly prepared teachers, and make sure that they have the best professional development possible, and not doing professional development just to check a box. We need to make sure that we have professional development that really is meaningful, is quality, and improves instruction and will make a difference in the lives of kids. So I think that's a real important question. And also the other thing that is concerning, I know I'm bird walking here a little bit, but the fact of the matter is a lot of the issues that face struggling kids is not around let's drill and kill them with worksheets. We really have to work on issues around social and emotional preparedness of our youngsters and in the younger grades, and that kind of bleeds into the early childhood system also. So we need to take a more comprehensive look. It's really important that kids are prepared academically, but the fact of the matter is we can't spend all our time chasing test scores. We have to make sure that our kids are socially, emotionally competent and really are at the top of their mental health game.
Yeah. Both of our candidates yesterday, your challengers, reacted to the confirmation of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, generally pleased with her choice as Education Secretary. What's your reaction?
Well, I would say that, and this is not being boastful, that I would have been a better candidate for that position. Not that I would have ever been asked, but the fact of the matter is, I was certainly disappointed at her testimony. But the main thing is, and I actually talked to her yesterday on the phone, and the main thing that we have to be prepared for is that the Secretary of Education's main job is bully pulpit. It's not around, you know, making sure this happens or that happens and investigating and monitoring and all that kind of stuff. That's important as it relates to the funding that comes to the federal government, but it's around the bully pulpit. And if Betsy DeVos is, and her main conversation around her, and she's provided this, is around vouchers. And if her main message, her main bully pulpit is around vouchers are good, public schools are bad, she will be doing a disservice to the 860,000 public school kids in this state. So that has to be very clear for her. And I'm concerned just because of the data that we know about her. And we'll be watching that. And I'm hopeful for the kids of our state that she has a open mind to the fact that public schools can do a great job and are doing a great job in Wisconsin.
For equal time purposes, I can only give you 30 seconds for a closing remark on why a voter should reelect you.
Okay, and I first of all, continuity is important, but I have to say we have a great plan going forward. One in five of our kids have mental health issues, and I think if we have money in the budget, the governor has put our money into the budget. As a state of Wisconsin, we have to recognize that one in five of our kids really struggle with mental health issues, and we have to make sure all our communities, not just our schools, but all our communities are prepared to help kids be healthy in their mental issues across the state.
Thank you very much for being with us. Tony Evers, the current state superintendent of public instruction, first elected to the post in 2009. He is seeking his third term. He faces two challengers on the ballot. We spoke with them yesterday.